a little quieter than normal.
Test here. One, two. Gotcha. All right, cool.
I think my mask.
No,
you
got to keep it on. I
keep it on.
Yeah,
10-4.
Keep it on. Yep. There's your one.
All right. Jordan, can you hear us?
Gotcha. What's up?
Awesome. Congratulations on that finish. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Questions within the Zoom platform and within the Media Center. If you are in the Media Center and have a question, please utilize the microphone in the back of the room to ask your question. And if you are in the Zoom platform, then feel free to ask your question as normal. We're going to start with questions, and to kick us off, we will go to Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob, with your question.
What's up? You there, Bob?
Sorry, we had to come to the microphone in the Zoom room or in the Media Center. How can you be so excited finishing second? It's being so close 2 years in a row.
I tell you what, to try to put it into words, came down here, my dad and I, he's here with me tonight in 2015, and came here originally for the first time in 1999 and watched down here. My dad and I drove down and slept in the back of our Tahoe and came down here and watched speed weeks down here. And, you know, as a kid growing up wanting to be a race car driver, Daytona is the holy grail of every single track that we go to. It's just so special here, the amount of history and all the legends that have raced here. And to be able to come here 2 years in a row to finish second, that was a pure Moses moment that we just had earlier tonight, to go from, I think, 11th or 12th coming to the white flag, and just the way everything worked out. But just my whole life having to fight and claw for everything that we have and all the partners and sponsorship that we've been able to put together and the people that have jumped behind us, to just be here on this national stage is so special and means so much. And you asked me why I can get excited about it. Just being here is exciting. To have an opportunity to race in NASCAR, the Camping World Truck Series, to be here in the series and compete is amazing enough to have an opportunity to be here every year. And I think I'm just most happy because we were a month ago so close to shutting down our truck team. We're going to try and go Xfinity racing this year, trying to qualify our way in tomorrow. And I'm glad that we made the decision to keep racing this thing and to come that close again to win on one of these things. It's I just, the whole last lap was a blur. I couldn't even replay it for you. Talk about it. It just happened so quick.
Okay, we'll take another question from inside the Media Center. Davey Siegel, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, Jordan. So you mentioned that the truck team almost was shuttered at the start of the year. So what is a run like this for the second year in a row? Again, what does this do for the truck team specifically? And then also translating to Xfinity, that new organization that you're starting up there, what does it do for both?
It's definitely huge. You know, I'm kind of bummed that I'm not racing for truck points this year. I declared to go race for Xfinity points this year, but it's pretty crazy. It's a huge boost. You know, anytime you can come out of Daytona with a truck that's for the most part one piece, our night almost ended. I think it was Stuart Friesen or somebody got into us early, and we went for that huge spin cycle down the short chute going into turn one. I puckered up for a second. I thought we were going to the wall. But to come away with the purse, Marcus Lemonis and Camping World do a great job promoting the series. So to have that purse money coming in to help fund the whole team, I'm going to have Bobby Roos driving the three truck next week here at the road course. He's got iHeart Mac and Cheese sponsoring him. So it's going to be a first stepping out, somebody else driving the three truck next week. So Bobby has some big shoes to fill, but it's huge. I mean, like I said, we almost shut this truck deal down. We wanted to keep it going because we had so much blood, sweat, tears put into this program the last 3 years, and wanted to keep it going to hopefully provide an opportunity for drivers like myself that just needed a shot to come run our truck maybe some this year. So excited to see how that might shake out, but it's huge for the whole program. We had a new sponsor tonight with Swan Security. Something about new sponsors, because Casey was a new sponsor last year that came here. They told him it was one, Swan Security. So we just got to keep getting new sponsors, and hopefully we end up more up here. But this tonight was pretty cool. John Bomarito, Chuck Wallace, his whole crew from St. Louis, they were actually in Las Vegas last year at an NADA conference and couldn't be here. And John and his whole crew were sitting up in the Exalta suite tonight watching the race with those guys. And to have them be here is super special because John Bomarito, the entire Bomarito Automotive Group, John's the one that he's been a mentor to me on the business side, running the team. And he's the one that really kind of gave me the confidence to make the jump up as a team owner to go Xfinity racing. And John was the one I kind of talked to about running both programs. And I owe a lot to Bruce Cook. I mean, he kind of took my whole truck program turnkey, took it to his shop, has overseen it all. He's worked just – it's just him and a handful of people there that work on it, Chuck and Amber. It's just so amazing to see what they've been able to do. But for them to put this truck together and run the way it did is pretty amazing. It definitely gives me some good confidence going into tomorrow. I have a feeling I'm going to be up a little bit later tonight, so I might be tired coming to Xfinity qualifying tomorrow, so I might have to drink a big old cup of coffee. But definitely for me and my career, this is huge. I've had to fight for everything I have, and just it's just a big night. So it's big for our whole entire organization to make the step up and be prepared to go Xfinity racing, but to keep our truck program going too.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hey, Jacob.
Hey, buddy. Congratulations, first off. How is this one different from last year? I mean, what's different? What feels the same? I know right now, I'll tell you, I can hear the thoughts going a mile a minute from everything you're saying. Just a wild night, it seems like.
I think the biggest thing that's different from last year was, you know, last year we were second coming out of turn two, and I in my head I'm preparing, I'm fighting for it. But to be honest with you, going in the back stretch this year, I'm like ninth. So the lead in winning wasn't even in my train of thought. I'm just trying to survive. I feel bad for, I think I clipped Austin Wayne Self there when I think somebody knocked me down into him. The biggest thing was just like that last lap, just trying not to wreck. I mean, I was sideways. I had a handful of wheel, just trying to keep the thing pointing in the right direction. So I didn't really have time to think about anything other than don't wreck, quite honestly. And coming out of turn four there, like I saw everybody going to the top and I'm like, man, I'm just going to hug this yellow line right here and just see what happens. And then sure enough, they started wrecking. And I know I laughed about it earlier, but the seas kind of just parted, guys started wrecking everywhere. And I just kind of like puckered up and went for it. And I saw Roper and Ben right there, and I saw them battling. And I've watched the replay from last year enough to know that when Enfinger and I started hitting each other, Cody Rohrbaugh almost snuck in from third place and won the whole race. So I'm thinking in the back of my head for a split second, I'm like, you guys just start banging doors like Grant and I did last year. Maybe I can slide by. But, I'm thinking faster than I'm speaking. I'm just so excited about it all.
To follow up on that, does this take any of the stress off going into tomorrow?
I don't know, to be honest with you. You know, thankfully, I feel like we have a great piece. We've been able to get some cars from RCR. We have an ECR motor in our Xfinity car. Danny Lawrence, Tori Galida, Marty Houston, all those guys, Andy Street over at RCR have been very helpful in kind of helping us understand how the Xfinity series works and what we need to do. We were able to buy some cars from those guys and get some motors from them. So they gave us a great foundation, and we were 20th in practice earlier today. So I feel pretty confident that if we can cover our bases and I can hit my shift points right and do what I'm supposed to do, as long as the weather doesn't come in, we should be in good shape come tomorrow morning.
Best of luck, buddy.
Thanks, Jacob.
All right, our next question will come from Jenna Farrar. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Jordan. You talked about how you were talking about maybe you would shut the truck series team down, and then you decided not to. What does that entail? How many people are you talking about? What kind of money, you know, are you needing to stay open? Things like that.
It's definitely tough being a small single car team in any series is tough. We are definitely a family run team. My dad spends a lot of hours up at the shop helping. We have a small group of guys, and pretty much what we did was we took my truck program and we're going Xfinity racing with it this year. So Artie here, that was crew chief in our truck program toward the end of last year, is now the crew chief of our Xfinity program. And we actually ended up losing 4 or 5 of our employees got taken by another truck series team. They went somewhere else, and kind of worked out good because we got a great group of guys that have come in and they're hardcore racers helping our Xfinity team grow. But Bruce Cook had done some stuff with another team last year, I think with Jesse Little, and he was looking for something. My girlfriend at the time, now my fiance, Kendall McReynolds, her dad, Larry, owns the building that Bruce works out of. And I told Larry I was trying to figure out what to do with my truck program. And he said, why don't you give Bruce a call? Bruce is looking for something to do this next season. And Bruce and I connected up and it made sense. And he's gone above and beyond to put together some good pieces and help keep our program going. And it's definitely, I try to operate on a lean budget. I've got, you'd probably laugh if you looked at my Dropbox. I've got like 15 different budget variations that I did for this year between making the truck and Xfinity stuff work. Swan Security, they actually jumped on board. I think it was last Saturday to be a sponsor. And the guys actually wrapped the Amber, who works with Bruce, she wrapped the truck down in the parking lot down here. And that's how last minute of a deal it was. But everything that we have, we fight for. And I had some new teams coming in, wanting to buy our owner points. They wanted to buy trucks and motors and different things. And I ended up not selling any of it. I had the whole really reason why our truck team kept going this year was two brothers out of Alabama, used to be with WCI Parts right here. Bobby and Roger Roos, they've driven for me on some road course races over the past couple of years. And Bobby's going to run four races for me this year. His brother Roger's going to run four races. So eight races together between the two of them. And it gave our truck team the funding to keep the doors open and keep that program rolling and keep our Xfinity team going well as well. So a lot of great pieces came together. And it's been pretty cool to see all the pieces that have come and the people that have helped make this all possible.
And you came from 12th to 2nd on that final lap. I'm wondering what you saw there. I heard you say that the sea kind of parted for you at times. But, I mean, can you talk me through that lap?
Yeah, you know, I was joking earlier. It really was like a parting of the seas with Moses. Like, that's what it kind of felt like. Like, everything just kind of parted. And I didn't expect it. I wasn't prepared for it. It just kind of – the way that these races go in the last lap, you've got to be prepared for anything and everything. And I had my hands full. I felt like I was more at a dirt track because whoever was behind me pushing me had my rear tires off the ground. I was turning more right than left going through turn one and two down here. But yeah, just absolutely crazy. Just shows that super speedway racing, anything and everything can happen. I know some drivers hate it. It always puts on a great show for the fans. It was honestly so cool to see fans back in the grandstands down here. It made it a lot more special to hear them yelling and cheering after the race. But I thought there for a quick second, my first comment on the radio was like, are you kidding me? We finished second again. And just to come that close, but happy for Corey Roper too. I know he finished third, almost had him one, and same for Ben Rhodes to get it. Thor Sport, man, 2 years in a row, they got us. I was joking on pit row that maybe I can go to Chevrolet and see if they can help us extend our front bumpers on these speedway races just a little bit to get what we needed. But I just watched the replay a little while ago, and I'm just thankful that we didn't get caught up in that, because there's a lot of torn up race cars out there, and we only have one speedway truck. We were going to take this one to Talladega later in the year. So thankful that it survived this thing. Bruce can go back and massage on it. I think we got to get a right rear quarter panel fixed. You know, going back to earlier in the race, I don't know if you saw that when we got spun and spun through the whole short chute down there, I thought our race was over right there. So the biggest thing with these speedway races is just survival. I mean, I ran half throttle for half the race, just kind of riding around the back waiting for people to crash and people to fall out of the race and be there at the end. So just crazy. I still haven't wrapped my head around. It still hasn't sunk in yet that we finished second. I don't think it will till I wake up tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to take our next question from Chris Knott. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Jordan. Congratulations.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, Jordan, I was just wondering what's your expectations for your Xfinity program? You guys look like pretty strong in single car runs, and then I have a follow up.
Yeah, man. No, I was super pleased. This was the first time that our team has worked together, our group of guys. Was very proud of my crew chief, Artie, here. We've had Robbie Benton has come in to help us get our Xfinity program off the ground. Robbie's been a huge help. We've got Jerry Moody, Quentin Payne, Andrew Patterson, Terry Elmore, our truck driver, Scott Robbins, my dad. That's been our team to build this Xfinity stuff up, and very thankful that RCR gave us some good cars. We were able to buy cars with bodies, with suspension, lowers, uppers, spindles, center links, all your pitman arms, idler arms, all that stuff, housings, truck arms. We were able to buy complete cars, and we knew when John Bomarito and I had this idea of starting up this Xfinity program, we knew that the field was going to be tough. We knew that Daytona was really going to be our only opportunity because We weren't able to buy points over the offseason. Nobody was shutting down. There was no points for sale. We knew that we had to really put together a solid foundation, a good base of equipment, and try to build this thing, you know, a little better than we did our truck program. Because my truck program, we forever fought. I bought my first car I bought was an old Turner car. And then I bought an old Kevin Harvick truck. And then I bought a GMS truck. So we had like seven different front clip variations with our truck program. And so now to have five RCR cars is a great, great foundation for us. Richie Gilmore up at DCR has done a great job of giving us some good motors. So my goal tomorrow, going back to your question, is if we can go qualify in the top 20, you know, 15th to 20th, somewhere in there, I'll be happy, and see if we can play our cards right and parlay the same just ride strategy to the Xfinity race tomorrow. And I want to make the race first. I want to be very humble about it. I know we have a steep hill to climb ahead of us, but I feel like we should be able to qualify in tomorrow on speed and play our cards right, see if we can finish and start our season. And I say start, continue.
Do you have a next scheduled race in the three truck?
I think right now Bobby Roos will run the road course next week. And then my next time back in the truck will be at Las Vegas is the plan right now.
Thanks, Jordan. Good luck the rest of the weekend.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, Jordan, thank you again. Congratulations on that second place finish. We wish you the best of luck tomorrow as well.
Thank you all so much. Hopefully I can see everybody again like this. I appreciate it. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Neil, start.
Hello, Corey, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. How are you?
All right. Great. How are you? Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a good day.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're going to roll straight into questions. And to kick us off with our first question, we're going to go to Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Amanda. Corey, congratulations. I've got two for you to start. You mentioned you hadn't been in that position before, but what was going through your mind when all of a sudden the push got you to the lead there on that last lap?
Well, we kind of come out of and took the white flag, and it just kind of got jumbled up. And I think the two got into the wall a little bit, put me in the wall. We flattened the right side, and instead of lifting, I just pulled down to the bottom and was able to clear him and then come off a two in the lead. So it was pretty exciting. About that time, I just calmed down and tried to stay and listen to my spotter and do what I needed to do. And, you know, the Alliance Aviation truck did great all night. We set it up to handle. And when I pancaked the side of the right side coming to the white, I guess, we got tight coming off of four, and I couldn't pull down and lock down. But, you know, what a great race. What a great time. You know, I can't thank my sponsors, my partners, and my team so much. You know, you got Alliance Aviation and CarQuest and Advanced Professionals, and I mean, these guys, without them, it's just not possible for us to be here. And you know, my crew chief Shane just works his tail off on this, and my brothers and friends and brother-in-laws, they all come to the shop at night and work at night on this truck, and to be able to do this with people you know and love, and be able to run up front like this, that's pretty rewarding.
What does this do for this team? You had announced, you guys announced pretty late that you were planning on running the full truck series season. How big is this as far as getting that quest off to a good start?
Yeah, this is huge. You know, to get started off the year with a good points night is a lot easier than trying to catch up from a bad night, you know. So getting started off in the right season, or, you know, the right steps, always good. You know, it's huge for us, and the difference between last year and this year is, you know, we were still trying to build a team and get our shop completed and everything else, and we were able to get quite a few, you know, have quite a few good runs. Last year we just had some bad luck, some engine problems, things like that, but we got great equipment. We were able to kind of get it all wrapped up. We've got all of our chassis plates and body plates and just got our chassis dyno in, so be able to dyno these engines and make sure they're ready to go, especially whenever we're doing a lot of non-practice races. You know, it's important to have that thing ready to go before you, pull, you know, show up. So just, you know, for the last 3 years, we've been trying to build a team, and this year we got plans, you know, if everything goes well, and to run the full season and to be able to start something off quick, you know, good finish, especially at Daytona. You know, we're off to a good start, so pretty excited about it.
Thank you, Corey.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Dustin Albino. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Corey, I've also got two. For you personally, what's it mean to get your first top five?
You know, it's a bittersweet. I mean, you can't be upset with a third in this series. This is probably the most competitive series in the circuit, I believe. I mean, just to make this race, we were this close to not making it, right? We were the last truck in on speed, which we knew we were going to be struggling on speed. We built this thing to handle, not necessarily for top speed. We really wasn't that concerned with it, and what a rude awakening to get here and get that close. It's just, that's not a lot of fun. A little stressful before the start of the race, but or before we qualify ended. But to get a good finish like that, you know, it's you got to be happy for your guys who work on this so hard, and happy for the team, and maybe we get to start off the year and have some good luck.
Have you watched the last lap back, and could you have done anything different?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I had the wheel turned further than I should have left coming off of four. You know, you don't ever want to overcorrect them when you have that, you know, that big push in it. And I know it's from flattening the right side. So, you know, kind of had what we had. I couldn't get down in front of him. And then if I had done anything different, I had no idea Jordan was coming. So, I mean, congratulations to him. Second finish for Daytona, you know, 2 years in a row. That's great for that team. He's a great competitor. We get along really well. And Ben Rhodes, same thing. I really like that guy. He's nice as he can be, willing to help anybody in the pit. So, you know, taught me a thing or two about driving too. He's helped me. So, you know, I wish I'd have known Jordan was coming, and I probably would have thrown a little more of a block on him, but didn't know he was there until it was too late. And then wasn't any sense in taking him out because I was too late to throw it anyway. So all I could do was hold her to the mat and see what happened.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Davey Siegel. Go ahead, Davey.
Yeah, Corey, can you just explain a little bit further what a finish like this does for your team financially, being in third place, and then also as a driver from a confidence standpoint, what it does as well?
Yeah, as far as the financial side of it, I mean, that's the hardest part of making the races, you know. And we're we've got some work to do to be able to run like we want to run when we come to the racetrack. We want to bring good equipment. We want to give ourselves the best shot every time. So anytime you can finish good and have a great finish like this and be able to bring funds back to better your equipment and everything else, I mean, it's huge in racing like this, you know. So you know, but there again, we've got great partners from Alliance Aviation and CarQuest and Advance, and I know I'm missing tons of them, but we have a lot of good things in the works, and you know, working on the B2B really hard with all of these. That way it works for everybody, and that's important. And you know, everybody can have a win-win, and you know, the racing's the fun part, right? So that's what's so nice about this series and what this type of sport is being able to get everybody connected that we can. And so the financial side of it is huge to help us, you know, be able to add two or three more races to the schedule without any issue. So, and as far as making, you know, a third place finish at Daytona, I mean, you just can't describe it. I mean, I couldn't imagine what Ben feels like and winning one of these, and there for a split second, I knew I got too far out coming off of two and got too big of a gap, but you know, the way I'm still learning where I need to position things in the truck to be able to race something like this different than anywhere else. And I didn't have the rear view mirror exactly where I wanted it and really couldn't see anything except the top of the trucks when they got too close. So I got to do some adjusting on that. And that's just seat time and learning. So, you know, I wish I had a different shot at that, but you know, you be grateful for what you got and you know, we'll take it and move on and learn from it. So we're excited.
So on the backstretch, did you know that you were a sitting duck? And since you couldn't really see a lot of things in your mirror, what was going through your mind as you knew that you had nobody in front of you and it was the last lap?
Yeah, I knew it was a sitting duck whenever I didn't feel a push. And then all of a sudden, whenever I did hear that, you know, it just pulls the motor back. And so I went into three a little bit higher than I probably normally would have to try to make Ben you know, go even higher, and when he got up there, he just sucked me back once he got to the spoiler, and you hear all that in the truck, and you know you're kind of, you know, well, and we were side by side, and I was fixing to crowd him, you know, up into the wall a little bit harder than I did, and I mean, he had such a run on me, there just wasn't any sense in it, I just missed it. I was just too late. But there again, me and my spotter are still pretty new with each other. But I mean, he did a great job. Steve did a great job. My crew chief's just fantastic. He works so hard on these. And you know, Shane's just something else. He knows these trucks. He loves the sport. He loves this series. Same thing with Josh. Very, very talented guy. We got both of them back together this year. And great body guy back at the shop. We got, you know, just great hands, my brothers and everybody that kind of put their heart and soul into this thing. And you know, my brother-in-law, one of my best friends out here, they just spend so much of their own time working on these. To give them a run in the finish like that was very, very exciting. And I'm so grateful for it.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Stephen Conley. Go ahead, Stephen.
Corey, we've heard drivers say all the time, the experience of running up front, there's nothing bigger than that. Today's race and the way that ended, what does that do for you as experience-wise for Talladega later this year?
You know, I'm excited about Talladega. This super speedway racing, to me, it's one of those races that I just really don't know how to approach yet. So the best you can think about it is watch film, watch moves, and try not to think about it too much. This place, the first time I was here, I didn't know anything and rode around the back and really had a fast truck and worked myself all the way up to second. I think I was running second, third, just bouncing back and forth. And I learned, you know, the hard way getting out of turn four, especially, I mean, right here at Daytona. When you get up there, the truck is going to move up once you lose all the air. And I was going to push Austin Hill 2 years ago, but I had the truck, I think, to push him in the lead and actually clear the outside line. And Ben was kind of crazy. I was with Ben. Ben is out there again. He was kind of crowding me down, and my truck was just all over the place, and I felt like I was going to wreck the whole field. So I was trying to push Austin Hill to the front, and when I did, I lost the front end and just pounded the inside wall by myself. Thank God I didn't take everybody else out. But, you know, those are little things. They're expensive and the lessons to learn. And you know, this one I really learned a lot. I got to run in the middle, got to run back, ran top, ran three wide, ran top groove, middle groove, bottom groove. you know, I learned that I'd rather have a truck that handled than one that was just top speed. I mean, they're just fast. So going into Talladega, I've never been there. I'm excited about it. I love that place. I mean, I used to go there when I was a kid. And I hopefully I can take something from this and then learn smart, right? You have to drive so far ahead of you. We had so many wrecks in front of us. How we missed it was just beyond me. And because the spotter can't really see that far ahead of you and watch what's coming. And, you know, so he did a great job. But for me to be able to miss four or five wrecks that happened in front of me and get through them, you learn those just being in the truck, just, you know, pointing it instead of trying to break it, things like that. So the more seat time I get, the more comfortable I get. And looking forward to more racing.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have time for one more question, and we're going to take that question from Marty. Go ahead, Marty.
Thanks, Amanda. Corey, congratulations on your first ever top three. I apologize if this is a dumb question for you, but I know it's third, but as a driver and an owner, do you see this as a win overall?
Well, when you're leading, coming down the backstretch on the last lap, a win would be a win, right? But, yes, absolutely. This is for – you know, being an owner, it's not really the way I look at this team. This is my family's team. This is my brother's team. I mean, somebody's got to have that title. But, my family, my brothers, my friends, I mean, this is everybody's team. So, yeah, just what a great feeling for them guys to be able to have a great finish, especially as hard as it was to get through Tech this weekend. And then as a driver, to have a finish like that, it gives you some confidence when you go back to super speedways. And to be completely honest with you, this is the one that when I got into this series that probably, you don't know about, because I've never got to run anything like this before. I didn't do any ARCA or anything like that. So this was the one I really, just super speedway in general, was the one I worried about the most. And to be able to get up there and run with them, two and three wide, and behave and not take anybody out, not do anything, that takes anybody else's day out either. Just feels good to know that we accomplished and can build trucks that'll run up there and do that.
Thank you, Corey. Congratulations, man.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Corey. Congratulations again on the finish.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you all.
Alrighty, and we are going to be joined here by our race winner, Ben Rhodes. Alrighty, we're going to kick off some questions here in the media center with Davey. And as a reminder, on the Zoom platform, if you have a question, just raise your hand and we'll call on you. Go ahead, Davey.
Hey, Ben. Congrats on the victory. Good to see you in the same room. So the final lap, when it was going down and on the backstretch, Corey was telling us that when he felt that you were not at his bumper and pushing him, he knew that he was a sitting duck at that point, but you didn't end up getting by him until coming through the tri-oval. Can you walk us through like the last half of the final lap from your perspective?
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I was wanting. I was worried that if I got past him too quickly, then he was going to side draft me right back and get the win. But I didn't plan on Jordan Anderson coming out of nowhere. He almost snuck by past both of us. So I was really surprised on that. But I tried to plan this out from the previous lap. I lost the stage win for stage two from this exact thing happening. And I said, and my spotter, TJ Bell, said, all right, we lost this one, but don't lose the next one. And we did just that. I learned from it. That was a big mistake on my part. But we learned from it. We overcame it. And we set it up perfectly to be able to do this for the real one that mattered.
All right. We're going to take our next question from Lee Spencer.
Sorry, I had put my hand down. But Ben, talk about Crapton and how Crapton had kind of helped you out there in the last lap.
Yeah, I feel so bad for Crafton. I mean, I just looked at pictures of his Menards Tundra all wrecked up. And I mean, he really put himself out there and pushed hard and did everything he could to help me. And I definitely owe him. I know how long he's been wanting to get this win and how much effort he's put in for year after year after year. And I know that's got to sting for him. So I feel really bad, but I'm so thankful that he's my teammate tonight. He pushed me to the win. And, my Bombardier Tundra wouldn't have been in victory lane if it wasn't for him. So, Duke and Rhonda should be proud that we as teammates were working together really well. And, they should be really proud of Matt Crafton.
You said you've been dreaming about this from the time you were 7 years old. What's your earliest memory of Daytona, and when did you first come here?
When you're a kid, the one that appeals to you most is Daytona. It's the super speedway race. I remember playing dirt to Daytona. I played NASCAR 06, 7, 8, 9. I played all of them. And Daytona's the place that you want to be, right? It's just the biggest race of the year. And, now that my home track's not even on the schedule, there's nothing that compares to this win. There's nothing. This is it for me. And I don't know. It's sunk in, but it hasn't. Like, I haven't got to see my team yet and see what they've been up to, but I can't imagine what trouble they're stirring up outside. And we're going to be up all night partying. This is going to be a great time. They're going to, it's something that means so much to them. It's something that means so much to me. Like, we've all dreamt of this, and for it to become a reality, I mean, you got to have luck on your side. You got to have everything on your side. For 3 years now, we've been leading or in the front, one of the front rows, and two laps to go, we get into a wreck. So we've been trying for a long time, and it's finally come together tonight. Oh yeah, and thank you, Marcus Lemonis, for believing in the series and for the extra cash tonight. My team's gonna love it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, we're gonna take our next question in the media center from Alex. Go ahead.
Hey Ben, that was actually one of my questions, was what do you plan to do with the money?
I don't know. I didn't plan on anything. I don't know what's going to happen. We just got to make sure that our team's taken care of, right? The crew guys put so much work into this. I'm just happy for them. I want them to enjoy. I want them to soak it all in. I want them to have a great time and know that, this reward, this bounty that was put up tonight is for them. And I love that. I think there's nothing better. They work so hard on these trucks, and they deserve the rewards that they get. So I'm just so happy for them. I'm a big, big supporter of my guys. This is our first race together for almost all of them with me, and for them to get the win right off the bat, like, that's special. They have so many things going on in their lives. You know, one of my guys just got married and got a house. Another one's just moved to Sandusky. Like, we have so much going on in their personal lives, and for them to, kind of shelf their personal lives and put so much into racing, like, this is a good reward, and I'm so happy for them.
And then, there's been a lot of talk about the rookie class and Haley Deegan being in it in trucks this year. What do you imagine that race was like, as a rookie? And do you remember your rookie race at Daytona?
I do. I remember my rookie race at Daytona. The thing that stands out to me is we were leading for like 20 laps, or not even that. I don't know, like 10 laps. And it was the middle of the race. It was before stages, so everybody's kind of riding. But when it was go time, I got shuffled out because I was the rookie. So it's nice to know that, I guess, I've earned a little bit of, people wanting to work with me now. I remember my first year here, nobody wanted to work with me. They're probably like, who's this kid? You don't belong out here type of thing. And it's nice to know that I had help tonight. I had really good teammates. I've got the best teammates in the business. You can't get a more experienced, you don't have a more experienced team. I mean, between Matt Craft and Johnny Sauter and Grant Enfinger, I mean, that's it. Like, they're the best in the series right now. And it doesn't always show at times with their performances, but we have the best drivers. I honestly feel that. And for me to have the best teammates, like, that speaks volumes. I'm glad that I have friends.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead.
Thanks, Marissa. Ben, congratulations. I know, obviously, the emotions were big for the home win, but can you describe, as it's slowly starting to sink in, can you describe the difference between the night, at Kentucky, when you called that the biggest win of your life, to saying that on the front stretch here at Daytona tonight?
Yeah, this is Daytona, right? Like, my home track, that's the biggest one of my life up to that point. It's my home track. I had so many people there counting on me and depending on me. And now we've gone through this COVID swing where there's nobody here now. And you're kind of enjoying things in isolation. I mean, I'm out there dancing by myself, having my own little party, but I don't care. I was having a great time. This Daytona. So I love this. It doesn't get any better than this. I mean, this is, the name says it all, right? Like, it doesn't get any better.
As far as a championship push, we know how big and how much of a threat ThorSport was all the way down the stretch last year. Now you're basically locked into the playoffs. You have, you know, the rest of the regular season to prepare if that's what you guys decide to do. What does this allow you to do? What do you hope to be able to do going forward from here to be able to prep for a championship run?
Yeah, you know, this would have been when Lemonis didn't put up the money for leading points regular season championship. This would have been a great time to like test some things out, but there's more money on the line now for the guys. We got to go out and perform. We got May 1st. I think it's July 9th. There's two different points now that you're able to get some money if you're leading the points. So we're going to take this momentum. We're leading points now and we're not going to lose it. We're not going to lose the lead. We're going to run with it. We want to be the regular season championship. We want to take all of those bonus points we can get. We're going to take the points we got tonight, and we're just going to go win races and have fun doing it. The nice thing is mentally the pressure is off, and we know that we're the top of the pile right now. So if people want it, they're going to have to come knock us off. And whatever we do, we don't need to have any mistakes at all going forward. No mechanical issues, no human error. We're just going to stay calm, cool, collected because the pressure's not here. And we're going to maintain this lead all the way through. And if we can do that, the rewards will be great. And, you know, it'll be a season of our lives.
Thank you, Ben. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take our next question from Stephen Conley. Go ahead.
Ben, congratulations. Obviously a big win for your career. You kind of mentioned they're going through the rest of the regular season, then towards the playoffs, the pressure being off. But over the last several years, there's been a lot of talk about your aggression on the track. Do you keep that aggression, or do you kind of maybe back it down a little, knowing that you are locked into the playoffs, or are those points so important?
Those points are important. I think we have the opportunity to be more aggressive now with pit strategy to set ourselves up for stage wins, where before maybe we played conservative because we just had to get the points. Well, maybe we can roll the dice a little bit more and go, you know, stage win or no points. And that's not the smart thing to do to necessarily maintain your lead, but it does open us up for those possibilities. So me as a driver, I'm just going to try to keep making the best moves I can, the smartest moves I can. And I got to say, my two guys on the radio tonight, my crew chief and my spotter, stayed really calm. And for me, I need that. I tend to have enough energy for myself and a couple others. So, yeah, I'm glad I got calm guys on the radio, and they're going to keep doing that. And I'm going to keep driving calm and just keep on trying to make the best moves I can.
And can you talk a little bit about your sponsor? They were reported as just coming on today. How big was that, and where did that develop from?
Yeah, Bombardier Learjet. I mean, Learjet's famous, right? It's what all the celebrities have. It's the light jet, the best one out there. And I gotta say, it's pretty special for them to be in the sport. As far as I know, I'm the first driver they've ever had in NASCAR, and their first race they get the win. So they better enjoy the heck out of it, because I don't think that happens very often.
Thanks, Ben. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next one in the media center from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Ben, did you think that Roper was going to stall in that position where he was in? And was it strange that, you know, you both are coming to the line and neither of you really have a push from anyone?
Yeah, I didn't expect to lose all of our help out back, to be honest. When I was planning it out in my head, I knew I was going to start losing some help on the backstretch, because that's just the way that the things go. People are going to start making moves. You start losing momentum. But I didn't realize that we were going to have no help on the front stretch. I thought there would have been at least something. I didn't know Crafton was going to get stalled out the way that he did. And I certainly didn't think that the outside lane was going to come the way that it is. So thank goodness Crafton was behind me and he was doing what he had to do and to try to maintain his position. And unfortunately, I know he got caught up in a wreck. I hope everybody's okay. But gosh, I didn't expect it to play out the way that it is. I certainly didn't expect Jordan. He came out of nowhere in my eyes. And I did get the run to his outside like I wanted. I was going to take either inside or outside, whatever he gave me. And I did get the run that I wanted, but I would have thought I had more speed. And we did run it down to the wire, but it's Daytona. If you're not surgical about it, then somebody else is going to be, and they're going to get the win.
All righty, we're going to take our next question from Marty Sakala. Go ahead, Marty.
Thank you, Marissa. Ben, congratulations on the win, man. Two questions for you. Number one, you were just talking about you were surprised that Jordan Anderson came out of nowhere. When did you realize that he was next to you for the win?
Oh, I was looking. I was looking over out my window. As soon as I was passing Roper and I knew I was coming to the line, I'm looking to my left to see if I had any challengers. I saw my mirror. I was good behind me. I knew nobody was on my right side. I was looking left, and I wanted to know what the results were right then and there. And I didn't believe it. Jordan was close enough that I started having doubts, and I knew I was in front of him. But, like, you, as a driver, you're just like, there's no way I just won at Daytona. You know, I'm just in disbelief. My spotter comes on the radio and is screaming, congrats, you did it. I don't think it's actually sunk in until I got to the backstretch. I think that's actually when I keyed up, because that's when it sunk in, and I got pretty animated. But to say the least, I was pretty happy. I'm still pretty happy. It didn't sink in though until backstretch for sure. I was in disbelief the whole time.
And I was wondering if you could talk about the aggressiveness throughout the entire final stage of the truck race. You know, it led to an average speed of under 100 miles an hour. Only three green flag stints that had gone over had at least 10 laps. What were your thoughts on the aggressiveness the entire race?
I don't know. I think we're going to have to take a poll. You know, with the left side skirts that were on the trucks this year, that is a big difference. And, you know, a lot of people say it's just a piece of plastic on the side of the truck. What does that do? It's a huge change in the handling of the trucks, the dynamic of the race. To me, at first, the start of the race, our truck was handling pretty evil, and I wasn't a fan of the skirts being on. I think it made the racing a little bit harder. It certainly can make your truck more stable in certain situations, but it upsets the balance. For me, I had a really evil truck in the beginning, and Rich Lucius did a really good job dialing that in. I was trying to give the best feedback I could, because I never had a truck drive like that before. And he did it. He got it right, where I was able to be aggressive and he made the right calls. But we'll have to take a poll and see. You know, I think there was a lot of aggressive racing tonight. The question is the racing better with or without that? And I'm not the guy to say that. I just think that you have to look at the comfort, you know, the ability to make moves and stuff. I think everybody was really close tonight, which is a great thing. You're able to really push hard and do a lot of stuff, but at the same time, is it too unstable? Does it lead to too many wrecks? Because it was a handful. I thought I was going to wreck three times in the first stage. And, you know, I imagine a lot of other drivers were dealing with that too.
Thanks for your time, Ben. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one. I'm Steven.
Sorry, I just got an echo there. Ben, Corey was talking about how you're willing to help anyone in the garage area and also how helpful you've been to him. What have your past interactions with Corey been like? And on that last lap, given that he really hasn't raced up front, raced for a win for, did you know what to expect from him that last half lap and the kind of moves he was going to try and make?
You know, I feel guilty with him saying that, because I don't know that I've actually been a huge help to him, but I will say that I respect the hell out of Corey. I think there's not enough people like him in the sport, and I think he is underappreciated and undervalued as a team owner and a driver. I think he is kind of the salt of the earth guy. I think he's what makes the sport what it is, and certainly doesn't get the name that he deserves. I think if he could get some good experienced folks around, like a good spotter, that's what helped me the most, was having TJ major spot for me for a couple years now. And he was really the only person I had coaching me the way that I should have been coached. You know, a new driver needs that. I needed it. Everybody needs it. Some people are born into a family and they have a driver that was their father or their mother or whoever was helping them, that's coaching them. I didn't have that. And I was very thankful that TJ took that time to do that for me these past couple of years. And it's made me a better person and driver for that reason. But everybody needs that. And, you know, Corey has an awesome thing going. From what we talked, he said he's going to be running the full season. And I can't begin to express how happy I am for him. Like I said, I don't think there's enough people like him in this series. And I appreciate what he's doing probably more than most, because he's from Houston, Texas, with his team. his own people, his own cars. They're building their own trucks. It's and logistically, we're in Sandusky, Ohio. I know how hard the logistics are with our team in Sandusky, but we do it and we're very, very proud of it. And the people in Ohio are behind us 100% because of that. So I can only imagine how big the people in Texas are behind him. So I'm super proud of him and what he can accomplish. And, you know, I'm proud of his run that he had tonight. You know, big, big congratulations to him.
And if I could just get some clarification on something, you said that TJ Bell was your spotter tonight.
Exactly. Yeah. TJ Bell is my spotter tonight. I had TJ Majors the last couple of years.
Okay. You know, TJ Bell, he raced in this series for a long time in the Xfinity series as well. And I don't think he ever visited victory lane. What's the movement like with him post-race? So,
gosh, TJ's awesome so far. We had lunch today and, I'm like, how have we not been friends before this? He's so cool. He's got so many amazing life experiences. TJ's another guy that I don't think gets the name that he probably should have. I mean, the guy's raced at Le Mans. He has been around the block and done so many cool things, and he has so much experience. I think if you put him in a high caliber team, he's going to go out and win a whole bunch of races. But at the same time, I'm so thankful for him to be my spotter right now. I mean, he coached me through this whole night. And, you know, he's everything I needed tonight to keep me safe and make me have the right moves. He was giving me all the information I needed. He did everything right. And I can't ask for any more than that. And what's even better is he's been able to go to all the races with me and, you know, we're going to grow together. And I absolutely love that. So I'm a huge fan of TJ Bell, huge fan of him.
Very cool. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Anton with ASN Media.
Thank you, Marita. Good evening, Ben. Congrats on your victory today. How does it feel to kick the things off in 2021 with a huge victory?
Yeah, here's the thing. We're in the playoffs now. Like, it is so hard to make the playoffs. Our truck series here is so dense with competition, and I don't know if people appreciate how hard it is to make it. It's incredibly tough. And now that we're in and we're locked in, like, it is such a weight off the shoulders of everybody on our team. I just love it. So the season started off right. We've got momentum on our side. We're in the top position. We're going to keep it that way. We just no mistakes, keep calm, cool, collected. Even if we lose the top spot in a race, you know, we'll get it back. That's the great thing about being locked in, is the pressure's off and you can focus on doing you. And to win at Daytona, like, I don't know if there's any better race to take the pressure off. Like, you're starting out the season, you're at the biggest race of the year. It means so much to Duke and Ronda. It means so much to me. I'm just happy for everybody involved. I am.
Thanks. Congrats on the win once again.
Thank you.
All right, Ben. Well, that's all we've got time for tonight. Thank you so much for taking some time with us. Congratulations on the win, and go celebrate with your team.
Thank you, guys.
Alrighty, into the media. That will conclude our post-race availability for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. As a reminder, Mike Wheeler, the crew chief for the number 2311 racing team, will be joining us via Zoom tomorrow morning at 11 to preview the Daytona 500. So please hop on that if you have any questions and reach out to anyone from the NASCAR communications team. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you.